The blinding glory of God was encased in the human flesh of Jesus, but he chose to contain that glory and limit his options. And that emptying of himself is the key to how we can bring his message to lost mankind. As we learn more about why the cross can do what politics can't, today we'll find out how to effectively take that cross into the world. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, in his message on the cross, our challenge before a watching world, Erwin Lutzer is in Philippians chapter 2, explaining how Jesus chose to not use his rightful resources while on earth.
For example, Jesus Christ, being God, he had omnipotence. That big word means all power. And yet there we see him on the well, and the text says, Jesus, being wearied with his journey, sat on the well. And we want to say, why in the world is he weary? He's God. He created the worlds. He wasn't depending upon his attribute of omnipotence. What about omniscience, knowing all things? God knows everything. That's a scary thought when you look into our own hearts and know that there is not one particle of matter or one of thought that escapes his notice. And yet, what did Jesus say? He said, regarding his second coming, he said, but the day and the hour knows no man, not the angels in heaven, nor the Son of Man, but the Father. He limited what he knew. He had access to all of that knowledge, but he didn't use it. Omnipresence. Because he was God, he filled the universe, and yet there he was as man. If he was in Galilee, he could not be in Jerusalem at the same time, limiting himself. And he became a servant, a bondservant. Now always remember that the limitation was self-imposed. You see, it was not a part of the Godhood was not involved in some kind of a downsizing, and Jesus Christ got caught in the squeeze and was fired. That's not the way it happened. You see, it didn't happen with Jesus Christ being in a situation where he was asked somehow to abdicate his responsibility. This was a voluntary decision on his part. He didn't have to do it. He didn't have to be yelled at. Move it, Jew boy! Get out of my way! He didn't have to listen to the curses of the people. He didn't have to allow the people who lived in Nazareth to try to push him over the brow of a hill, and he let them try to do it. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to put up with all this nonsense. He didn't have to walk sometimes 50 miles in a single week to get around in a hot desert needing provision and all those other things that he needed. He simply did not have to do that. But he emptied himself and he chose voluntarily to do it. You see, Jesus Christ never had to apply for the job of being God. He never put in his application because he really is God. And because he really is God, that is something that belongs to him in essence. But he did put in his application to become a bond servant, to come from the glories of heaven to the grime of earth. Was his lone decision, made, of course, as the Trinity, the Trinity's decision. But he became a bond servant. So one way we can describe this greatest of descents is to say that it was a change from master to servant. It was a change of status. Another way that we can describe it, and that is to say that it was a change of appearance. He looked differently. Notice what the text says, that he had the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, verse 8, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. It says in the last part of verse 8, even the death of the cross. Now, notice he changed his appearance from godhood to manhood. When it says that he came in the appearance of a man, some people have said that that means that he wasn't really a man. It just means that he appeared like one. Well, I want you to know that that is heresy, if you happen to believe that, because actually he was a man. It says earlier that he was in the very form, same word, of man, as being also in the form of God, very same. So he was a man. It just means that that's the way he was on earth. His appearance was that of a man, fully human, fully human. Now I want you to catch the significance. Those hands that formed all the worlds, that spoke, and suddenly they were in existence. Those very hands would now have to be held. The feet that walked to and fro about the whole universe, the feet whose goings forth have been from of old and from everlasting, those feet would now have to learn to walk. The eyes that are like a flame of fire that see throughout the whole universe and see the juxtaposition of every single particle, those eyes would now have to adjust to the dim light of a stable. And the ears that have heard all that has ever gone on in the world and in the universe, those ears would now have to be trained to listen. And the mouth that spoke, for by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and the host of them by the breath of his mouth. The mouth that spoke would now have to learn to speak Aramaic and Hebrew. Bear in mind that when Jesus was in heaven, nobody had to say, "Who is that on the throne anyway?" You know, some of us were in Petra and they were filming a movie there. And some of our tour group said, "You know, we met so-and-so. I don't know. I never heard of these movie stars. I guess that I somehow traffic in the wrong circle. Never heard of them." But people were saying, "I met him." And I want to say, "Well, who is he? Point him out. They all look alike to me." It's not the way it was in heaven. Angels didn't go around and say, "Well, who in the world is that on the throne anyway?" Instant recognition as God and King. Gets to earth and he has to show his ID wherever he goes. Nobody knows him. He came unto his own nation and his own people. They received him not. He was unrecognized. He was not accepted for who he was. And he was accused of being born illegitimately because nobody believed this business of the virgin birth. That was just a story. And so they accused him of that. And Mary and he had to bear the shame and the snide remarks and the sarcastic comments. And he had to put up with all that. And he created the place and they didn't recognize him as the creator. He was incognito, unrecognized, one of them, spat on, and not honored at all for who he was. And he took it. He took it. Have you ever been in a situation where you think that somebody should have known you? And they don't. That can really affect our pride, can't it? You know, the contrast with other religions is explosive. In other religions, you have many instances of somebody who's a man who wants to be God. In fact, we have people on earth like that. You know, there is that story of a woman who speaks at Bible conferences. She got onto a plane and she was going through her briefcase and checking some, and the woman next to her said, "Who do you work for?" And she said, not knowing exactly who to say, she said, "God." And the other woman says, "Yeah, I work for a guy like that too." We have lots of people who want to be God, and the Romans, they took an emperor and they said, "Let's call him God." I know of no religion in history. Many religions where a man aspires to be God, but no religion where God aspires to be a man. And that's what happened in Christianity. Imagine that in the appearance of a man, unrecognized, the appearance of God to the appearance of a man. There's another way to describe that, and that is to say that it involves a change of roles from victor to victim, from victor to victim. Notice it says, last part of verse 8, he was obedient. And by the way, there he is in heaven always giving orders. Now he's on earth and he has to take them. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. There are many ways to die, many ways to be put to death. You can be stoned, but to be stoned, you keep your clothes on. Rock hits you, you finally fall over. They throw a few more on you, and you're gone. That's a possibility. Crucifixion was reserved as the nasty, cruel way to do it. It's not only cruel physically to hang on the cross and to have to endure that, it was also cruel emotionally and spiritually because it was so shameful, usually crucified naked, gawking. Today people say, well, you know, I want to die with dignity. This was not death with any kind of a dignity. In fact, it says in the scripture, cursed is everyone who hangs upon a tree. Therefore, it was an awful way to die. I mean, we're talking about blood. We're talking about smells. We're talking about shame. And that, my friend, is Jesus, Son of God, King, Lord. Can you believe it? Jesus went from victor to victim. Can you imagine on that day what happened? He is the one, you know, who limits Satan and gives Satan the parameters and tells Satan what he can and can't do, because Satan is always subject to God. But on that day, Jesus said, I'm going to let you be in control so far as this is concerned. Can you imagine Jesus Christ staring in the very face of evil on that day and saying, today you win. Go ahead, do it. When he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he lays aside his rights, he lays aside his glory, he lets it all pass, and what he says is, I am willing to do even that. Get it done. And he's King and he's God and he's Lord. Yes, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. What an example we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. The full recognition that he voluntarily left heaven. He would not have had to suffer. We oftentimes have no choice. He did. He comes, he suffers, he humbles himself. Now the question before us is, what can we do today to emulate, to use Jesus Christ as our example? Can you become a servant to someone? I believe that if America has ever changed, it's not because we have the right administration in Washington, even though that is important. It's going to be because of the lives lived in faith, in humility, serving the world and serving one another with a sense of transformation that makes the world realize that the message of the gospel actually transforms us. So I conclude, let's live what we know.
That was Dr. Erwin Lutzer with part two of The Cross, Our Challenge Before a Watching World, the last message in his series on why the cross can do what politics can't. Monday, more about being like Christ so the world will believe. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. In sorting out how to mix faith and politics, we all need some clear teaching. This eight-part CD series can be yours as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or you can write to us at Running to Win, Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for Monday's Running to Win.